Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is the story of Oregon's Liberty Ship Factory, the stated goal of which was to build them faster than Hitler could sink them. At Henry Kaiser's Portland Shipyard, they were breaking a champagne bottle over a brand new bow every 3 days during the war. This story was first published on May 2nd of 2009. Here we go. Most Oregonians have some idea of what Liberty ships were. Simple steam-powered freighters built with frantic speed and in staggering numbers by American shipyards during World War II, with the stated goal of building them faster than Hitler's boys could sink them. In this, they were wildly successful. American shipyards cranked out roughly 2,750 of these ships during the first 5 years of the 1940s, during which time the minions of Messrs. Hitler and Tojo only managed to sink about 200. One was actually built in just 4.5 days. And these weren't small ships. Each one was 441 feet long and 56 feet wide, could lug 18 million pounds of jeeps and airplanes and soldiers and anything else without being overloaded, which, by the way, they frequently were. A 2,500-horsepower steam engine pushed them to a pathetic but adequate 11 knots. Liberty ships were not exactly objects of beauty. President Franklin Roosevelt at one time referred to them as a, quote, dreadful-looking object, and most people thought he was right. They were considered expendable and not expected to last more than 5 years. But they were more than just cannon fodder. One of them drew first blood on the water during World War II when it sank a German raider in an old-fashioned gun battle in 1942. There was a war on, so many of the ships went to sea bristling with cannon barrels, some as big as 5 inches. The Jeremiah O'Brien, moored on display in San Francisco Bay, is one such. There would have been a lot fewer of these ships, though, had it not been for the man who owned the Oregon Shipbuilding Corporation in Portland, Henry Kaiser. Kaiser owns 7 shipyards around the country, including the Oregon one. What made the local yard special, though, was that it was set up specifically to produce Liberty ships, and it was set up in the most efficient way possible, like an assembly line. In just under 4 years, Portland cranked out 455 of these. In other words, a brand new freighter was getting a champagne bottle broken over its bow roughly every 3 days. It all ended, of course, with the war. The shipyards were shut down. The ships they produced soldiered on for years, but just 2 survived today in both their museum ships, the John W. Brown and San Francisco's Jeremiah O'Brien. To keep the shipyard workers housed, Kaiser bought 650 acres of farmland in the Columbia River floodplain and diked it and filled it with houses and apartment buildings, and the place became known as Kaiserville. Then they renamed it Vanport. Like the Liberty ships themselves, Vanport was not expected to survive World War II, but it did for a few years until a rotten railroad trestle washed out in a 1948 flood and let the river roar in. That flood was the biggest since 1894, and you can still today see the high water mark on buildings in downtown Portland where they've been marked. The water was 2 feet deep there. Longtime residents of Springfield remember when salvaged buildings from Vanport were trucked down the valley and set up there shortly after that town washed away. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon History for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising, and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon History and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.